The Tom Woods Show, episode 1377.
Prepare to set fire to the index card of allowable opinion. Your daily dose of liberty education starts here. The Tom Woods Show.
Folks, if you're like me, one of the most demoralizing things is when someone utters the truth and then lamely apologizes. Well, not these folks. I've got a free ebook of stories from heroic professors who told the PC mob to go pound sand. Stories from Jordan Peterson, Michael Rechtenwald, and others. Check it out at againstthemob.com. Hello, everybody. Tom Woods here. We've got Andrew Torba back on the show. He's the creator of Gab, the alternative social media site dedicated to free speech. And he's got quite an innovation on his hands here with a browser extension called Dissenter that a lot of people have been talking about. And rather than steal his thunder, I'm going to let him tell you what it does. But I think you'll want to check it out. All the information related to what we're talking about today, you can find linked on the show notes page, which is tomwoods.com/1377. Andrew, welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
All right. I've had a number of people who want to have me talk to you about Dissenter, which is a novelty coming out of your quarter of the world. And I wanted to just get an update from you about Gab and how it's going and what your ambitions are and what your obstacles have been and all that. But let's start by giving the people what they want. Tell me about Dissenter, what it is, and how it's been received.
So Dissenter is the comments section of the internet. The concept is you install a browser extension on any of the major browsers, Google Chrome, Safari, Microsoft Edge, Brave. And once you install this, you click the extension and it will create a comment section on every URL on the internet. So Wikipedia pages, which do not have comment sections, YouTube videos that maybe have comment sections disabled or have comment sections that are heavily policed, CNN articles, which do not have comment sections or are heavily policed. Any URL that you can think of, you can now comment on. Amazon pages, it's limitless, right? And we're seeing people use this in ways that we couldn't have even imagined. What's unique about the concept is that it's creating a public square on every URL. So when we're having conversations about a particular news article on CNN, for example, we're tweeting it out to our followers, we're posting it on Facebook to our friends, or maybe we read about it in a particular subreddit on Reddit. You know, the point is that those conversations about that particular URL are very fragmented. So you can't get different perspectives from different groups of people and different niches of people from across the web. What Dissenter does is it creates a unified public square around every URL. So you're going to see people from the left, from the right, from the center, people that are apolitical. You're going to see all different types of perspectives because there's only one public square on that URL for Dissenter. The other interesting thing is that you don't actually need the extension in order to see what people are commenting on different URLs. So you can go to dissenter.com and enter in, you know, a YouTube link or an individual tweet link or a CNN article and see what people are commenting on and also leave a comment right from there. So it's not limited to the extension, but the extension is what makes it a very unique experience and allows us to do a lot of cool different things. For example, we can overlay a Dissenter button on top of Twitter itself. So you can be scrolling through Twitter and click a Dissenter button on any tweet and see what people are saying on Dissenter about that individual tweet. And what we're finding is that both YouTube and Twitter are two big use cases for Dissenter so far because people want to reply and say stuff to different tweets or to different YouTube videos, but you know they don't want to be under the terms of service that are subjective and ambiguous and could strike against them at any time for having the wrong political viewpoint, you know, that Twitter and YouTube come with. So they're replying to tweets and replying to YouTube videos using Dissenter and you know, coming across different people that are either sharing their opinions or having differing opinions about those same links while they're on Dissenter as well. It's been a very fascinating and interesting couple of weeks that we've been in beta with it so far.
And just to make sure everybody understands, the idea is that I would see this comment section on all these various articles when I'm on CNN.com, if I were, but any of these other places, if I also have Dissenter installed.
Right. If you have it
installed. So you're not able to invade a computer of somebody who doesn't have this thing.
No. Yeah. We're not able to just randomly install it across CNN servers, right? That's impossible. But what we've been able to do, and the reason that we kind of had to think outside the box with this is because, you know, we tried participating in the quote-unquote free market, right, which really is not all that free, it turns out. You have mobile app stores, which are, you know, controlled 98% by two companies. You have different infrastructure and hosting providers that are majority controlled by a few companies. You have payment processors, which are controlled by a few companies, and we've been no platform by them all. So, you know, we kind of had to think outside the box, and it's like, if they're not going to let us play in their sandbox of the internet, well, then we're going to build our own sandbox on top of theirs. So picture Dissenter as like a layer on top of the entire rest of the internet, right? So, you know, we are now on top of every URL, and there's nothing that any of these sites can do about it. Like CNN cannot stop you from using Dissenter to comment on their articles. Twitter cannot stop you from using Dissenter to reply and comment to tweets in that way. Same thing with YouTube. So, you know, we've effectively added this new layer on top of the internet that is out of the grasp of any of the major controllers of the current internet, and are piggybacking off of their infrastructure to do so, which is interesting. And it's done in a way that you wouldn't expect, but you know, there are a lot of people, and it's a growing number of people that, you know, do know what browser extensions are. You know, I believe it's 30% of the internet has an ad blocker installed, which comes in extension form. And, you know, we see this as an opportunity to add a new layer on top of the internet that can't be censored, that can't be touched by the tech oligopoly in Silicon Valley, and, you know, offers people a new path to freedom and to discovering what people are actually talking about on the internet. And that's been the experience so far over the past couple of weeks has been that people are yearning to speak freely and to have an outlet to express themselves. You know, one of the first places they go is on all these blogs or these mainstream news sites that don't have comment sections. And by the way, that's not just people on the right. Right. It's not just people on the right going to CNN and leaving comments there. It's also people on the left, you know, going to, you know, Fox News or Breitbart or any of these other places and commenting there as well. So it's not, you know, when we launched Gab, and Gab, you know, primarily for the past 3 years has been conservative, right leaning, libertarian leaning. Right. And that's because those are the folks who are being silenced across every other platform. What's interesting about Dissenter is that we have a whole new group of people, and they are apolitical. They are people on the left. They're people on the right. It's a really diverse mix of people, because this idea really attracts people from all sorts of backgrounds. It's not just a political thing, which has been great to see, because we're getting a lot of new people, a lot of new voices that are coming in and, you know, showing the power of Dissenter at work. It's been very, very fascinating to see, and we're excited about it.
It's interesting to see different takes on Dissenter when I go to Google. Because on the one hand, I see an article on a libertarian website that says, Dissenter, the platform designed to sidestep corporate censorship. Okay, fair enough. Then, meet Dissenter, a far-right, quote, comment section for hating on journalists. By the way, my new pet peeve, and I feel like, let's get it out of your system now, folks, because next week it's got to be gone, is the expression hating on. I don't know where that came from. That is no right winger came up with that. Okay, let's just say that was from some mama's boy somewhere. Nobody talks that way. And then this one, Gab browser extension puts a far right comments section on every site. So that's certainly the way the other side is looking at it.
Right. It's interesting. You know, obviously we expected hit pieces, right? And if you look at the Dissenter comments on those articles, those are some of the most dissented articles on the site right now. So they have thousands and thousands of comments of people just calling them out, because ironically, I think both of those actually do not have comment sections. So, you know, they want to smear Dissenter as something that it's not, first of all, and, you know, let their opinion be known and out into the world, but they don't want anybody to counter it. They don't want anybody to challenge it. And that's why they don't have comment sections anymore. And, you know, we've seen this trend. You know, it started in about 2013. I was looking before we launched Dissenter. You know, I've had this idea for a while. Originally, it started out as, okay, we want to do a JavaScript embed and a WordPress plugin that will allow publishers to embed a Gab-powered comment section on their site. And we said, okay, well, how can we take this one step further? How can we take this, you know, to the next level? And then that's when we came up with the browser extension idea. But before this, I was looking into the history of comment sections. And what we see happen is from around 2013 to around 2015, you see most major mainstream news sites and mainstream blogs on both the left and the right, by the way, remove their comment sections because they, you know, they couldn't moderate, or they didn't want to moderate, or more importantly, people were calling them out in the comment sections and disproving what they were saying in the articles. But what happened then is those conversations that were happening in the comment sections ended up moving to social media, in particular on Twitter. And what ended up happening there from 2015 until, you know, still going on today is everything that we see. You know, they had all these social networks ended up changing their rules randomly, changing their terms of service, making them more subjective and ambiguous, enforcing them on it equally, censoring one side, not censoring the other, all the stuff that we've been seeing over the past 4 or 5 years. So, you know, the natural response to that is, okay, if comment sections are going to be removed, and if people are going to be removed and silenced across major social networks, then we're going to add a comment section to every URL on the internet, and it's going to be directly connected to our free speech social network that anybody can join. So that's the other thing about Dissenter that's cool too, is it's very synced up with Gab. So like as you're dissenting, you know, you can have that automatically post back to your Gab profile, and it helps you create content very, very quickly in that regard as well. So they're very synced up. But the thing is that, you know, a lot of people on the left, for example, they say stuff like, well, Dissenter is brilliant, but I don't like that Gab built it. And it's like, well, you don't have to use Gab. That's fine. And there are many people who use Dissenter who do not use Gab. And there are many more people who use Gab who don't use Dissenter. And that's fine. I think that there's two different things there, right? There's a social network, and then there's the comment section of the internet. And Dissenter is also a little bit different in that, you know, it's text only, and we did that on purpose. We wanted it to focus on the conversation. It's a comment section. It's not a meme section. It's not a video site. And I think that has really helped. We've seen a major difference in terms of the level of thoughtful commentary that is going on. You know, it's not just trolling, or it's not just memeing. It's not just goofing around. It's more serious conversation. And I'm using Dissenter every day to discover new content that I wouldn't have seen otherwise. So we also allow people to rate, you know, give it a thumbs up or a thumbs down to not only comments, so you can help, it helps to surface and discover the best comments, but also URLs themselves. So you can upvote individual Wikipedia links, individual YouTube videos, tweets, everything, right? Every URL. And that helps surface interesting content both ways. So we have this feature called Dumpster Fire, and it will display URLs that have, I think it's more than like 50 downvotes or something like that. And it's interesting is you end up discovering some of the most interesting commentary and articles in the Dumpster Fire section. So it's been a very interesting, you know, couple of weeks since we've launched into beta, and we have a lot of big plans for it. So I believe that we're going to be able to get on the App Store with this. And the way that this will work is it will embed Dissenter into the share option on Safari. So when you're on your iPhone and you're in Safari browsing the web, you click the share button and there will be a Dissenter option there. It's kind of like an extension, a browser extension for iOS. And this is a concept that already works. There are other apps that already do this right now, so we know it's possible. And you click this, and it just pulls up the Dissenter comment section on the particular URL that you are looking at, and then it will work on mobile. So we believe that we'll definitely be able to get into the app stores, which is a first for us because we've been trying with Gab for about 3 years, and I think having images, having video at one point like Gab did, et cetera, made it a little bit more difficult. Because, you know, you're going to have edgy memes and stuff that Apple's going to come across and say, nope, you're not allowed because hate speech or whatever. With this being just text, it's a little bit different. There's not much in terms of Apple App Store guidelines or Google Play guidelines that they can point to and try to scurry along and reject us. They're going to have no choice but to approve us. And the good thing that we've seen so far in 5 or 6 weeks here of being in beta is we're now still on the Google Chrome extension store as well as the Firefox add-on store. And they've reviewed multiple builds and have had no problems, which is great. It's a great sign. You know, we haven't been banned from those yet because we offer a real product that is 100% compliant with all of their terms of service. So we don't see why we won't get approved for the app stores with this as well, which will be really exciting.
Folks, just a quick word on behalf of a sponsor I could not be more proud to promote, and that is Skillshare. Here is one of the great things about the internet and how it really can expand your horizons and your opportunities. You get access with just one membership to over 27,000 classes in design, business, and a whole lot more, and you'll discover countless ways to fuel your curiosity, creativity, and career. You've heard one of my daughters, I hope to get another one on the show sometime soon, who have used Skillshare to pursue their own hobbies and interests further. There are plenty of other people who have used it to acquire a skill that gives them an edge on the job, makes them more competitive, makes them less likely to get the pink slip, and indeed makes it possible for them to start their own side hustle or indeed even their own business. Join the millions of students already learning on Skillshare today with a special offer just for my listeners. Get 2 months of Skillshare for free. That's right, Skillshare is offering Tom Woods Show listeners 2 months of unlimited access to over 27,000 classes for free. To sign up, go to Skillshare.com/woodsfree. Again, go to Skillshare.com/woodsfree to start your 2 months now. That's Skillshare.com/woodsfree. Let's shift gears for a minute and talk about Gab itself.
Sure.
Because we haven't yet done that. One thing I will tell people, I know when you think about going to a new social network, one thing you think about is a learning curve. I got to learn all over again how it works. But I'll tell you something, I hate learning curves, and I find Gab to be very intuitive and easy to use.
Well, I appreciate that. That's been one of our objectives over the past couple of quarters is, you know, make the onboarding experience a lot more easy and intuitive. And one of the things that we did is we have groups. So Gab is essentially a Twitter-Reddit hybrid, right? We have these groups that connect people around different interests. And now when you're joining Gab, you get presented with a bunch of different groups that you can select, whether you're interested in art or politics or news or whatever it may be. We have a bunch of different options there. You select a couple of these and then you get started. And when you get started, you instantly see posts about all that stuff. And you can, you know, connect with people that share those interests right away. And all that content is right in your feed. And you like it because you selected it, obviously. So that's one of the things that we've been working on is making the site overall easy to use and making the onboarding experience a lot better to connect people with the content that they want to see and the people that they want to see right away. Because we may not have every celebrity, you know, or every big major news site on Gab, but we do have a lot of great people that are going to share your interests, right? So that's one thing that we've been really working on, and it's been working out really well. The other thing is we're working on a total redesign of basically the entire front end right now and also the back end. So we're rewriting everything to help with the scale of growth that we've seen. So over the past couple of weeks, we've been adding about 20,000 new users to both Decenter and Gab every single week. So that growth has kind of put a little bit of a stressor on our backend infrastructure. So we've been rebuilding that and moving over to some new faster servers and rebuilding the front end a little bit to make it a little bit more modern and polished. A lot of little details at this point on that front. But, you know, Decenter has also been propelling the growth of Gab because it's the same user account, right? You use your Gab account to log into Decenter and you don't need to log into Gab to use Decenter, but you do have a profile if you want to come back to Gab after you've already signed up for Decenter. So it's helped with growth in both ways. And hopefully, you know, getting on the app stores will also help with that as well. And, you know, we can be the freedom epicenter of the web. That's really where we're going is, you know, if we have to build out every facet of the internet to be liberty-minded and to be freedom-minded and to conserve the way that the internet has always been, that's what we're going to do. If we have to be the company to do it, you know, we started out as just a free speech alternative to some of the major social networks. And now we're getting into, you know, a free speech alternative to Discus and WordPress comments and just comment sections in general. And who knows where we'll go next? You know, there's a big opportunity, and I think we can seize a big portion of the market and be the de facto liberty / freedom minded company on the web, whether it's through search, whether it's through email, whether it's through the comment section with Dissenter, whether it's through social networking with Gab. It's really limitless. And we hope that other people will step up. And there are others stepping up, like BitChute, Minds. Some of those other guys are stepping up and trying to attack different verticals. Minds is going after Facebook, and BitChute is going after YouTube to preserve liberty. And hopefully others will follow suit, and hopefully we're going to inspire others to build, because that's what we need to do right now. Otherwise, you know, you're going to have these Silicon Valley oligarchs that are going to own and control everything for forever, which is, you know, something I don't want to see. I don't want my kids growing up on a corporatized internet, a fluffy pony corporatized safe space internet. That's not what the internet is. That's not what it was built for. And that's not what I want to see it be going forward. So that's why I'm actively building to prevent that from happening. And I hope I can inspire others. I hope our team can inspire others to build as well.
There's a lot to say here. I mean, of course, you're facing a unique challenge building a social network. You could build a lot of things that would have their own challenges, but this carries one where you need to get people there in order for other people to come.
Right.
But the first, you know, but you've overcome that because you do have a lot of people on Gab. That's
true. It took about 3 years. Yeah.
Yeah. That's just hard to get that critical mass where the thing now more or less runs itself.
Right.
But as you say, given the present situation, the type of people to whom it would even occur to look for alternatives to Facebook and Twitter are the sort of people who tend to be on the edges. And that could be on the left or on the right, and in this case, typically on the right. So then what happens is you build up a site that looks like it's catering to just one point of view, which then in turn blocks your further growth. Or maybe it just simply creates a niche for you in social media. How do you look at it?
Yeah, so I think, it started out that way for sure. And we expected it to start out that way. You know, it's always the people on the fringes that start out being censored. But now what we're seeing is, you know, I can go down the corner bar and bring up Facebook to people here in rural Pennsylvania and say, how many of you have been thrown in Facebook jail? And, you know, half the room will raise their hand. So it's not just people on the fringe or on the edges anymore. It's starting to be normal, everyday, working class, blue collar people on both the left and the right who are learning that these big giant corporations are, you know, playing speech police and deciding what you can post and what you can talk about and what links you can share and what is news and what isn't. And, you know, people are starting to now wake up to this. And we see this with the plateau in growth across all of these major social networks, and many of them are now losing users, especially in the US. So I think this trend is going to continue because they're all doubling down on this censorship and this safe space and applying basically European Union style speech preferences, because that's where this is all coming from, right? You know, Mark Zuckerberg writes an op-ed for, I think it was the Washington Post, and he says, oh, we need more government regulation because we don't have a framework to speech police. And it's like, well, wait a minute, you're a U.S. company. You absolutely have a framework. It's called the First Amendment, and any precedent that has been ruled on the First Amendment. You just want to appease these foreign governments to keep collecting bank and to keep operating in those markets, whereas we don't care. Like, I don't have an office in Europe. I don't have an office in New Zealand. Perfect example. Dissenter was blacklisted in New Zealand for, I think it was 3 or 4 days. So we had multiple ISPs in New Zealand blocking Dissenter, which is at the time a 3-week-old beta app. I don't know why they didn't block Gab, but they ended up blocking Dissenter only. It was very bizarre. And they blocked Zero Hedge and a couple of others. But, you know, that's the thing, is that that's Facebook's biggest fear, is like, oh, we don't want to lose those markets. We don't want to get blocked. Like, what are they going to do? Are these governments just going to like shut off Facebook in these major markets where they have millions and millions of users? Like, do you think that like their citizens aren't going to take notice of that? So like, what is Facebook so afraid of? They like to cater to these governments, but you know, what we want to do is just cater to the First Amendment. We're an American company. We have values that cherish freedom and especially the freedom of expression on the internet. And we have a pretty clear guidebook in terms of U.S. law to guide us on speech issues for the internet. So like, use it. And that's what we're doing. And we're trying to – what Facebook and all these other guys are doing is they're trying to import speech laws and speech preferences from the world and apply it to Americans who have First Amendment freedoms and stifle their speech using these arbitrary hate speech rules and all this other nonsense, right? What we're doing is we're saying the First Amendment and freedom of speech is going to be our core, the core of our company, the core of our products, all of our products. And we want to export that to the world, right? So we want people in New Zealand or in Germany or in the UK where people are being arrested for tweets, where you can't view certain tweets if you live in certain countries, right? Things like this that are happening right now today. We want to export the freedom of speech to these people. We want them to be able to speak freely on the internet, no matter where they're from. We don't care if they're a U.S. citizen or if they're a Canadian citizen or if they're a citizen of the EU. We don't care where they're from. We want to export this freedom to them on the internet. So it's a different approach. It's a fundamentally different approach. And I think ultimately we're going to win because you can't have this free and open internet for decades. And then all of a sudden you have, you know, three or four companies and three or four governments that decide, oh, well, we can't let them have that anymore, and we're just going to take that away. People are naturally going to seek out alternatives. And, you know, right now, Gab is the leading de facto alternative. When you think of alternative social networks, when you think of free speech forums on the internet, I think Gab is probably the first that comes to mind for the majority of people right now. And I don't think that's going to change. So that's, you know, we're going to double down on free speech while they double down on their censorship and they start going down this path of using AI to censor speech before it's even posted. That's their new thing. You know, they want to catch it before you even post it. And by the way, governments are pressuring them to do this. You know, and we saw this in action with the New Zealand video where they stopped the video from being shared as it was being uploaded, I think 1.5 million times. You know, it shows that they have this technology available, right? And you know, the thing with that is like, okay, I get that the video was obviously horrific and gruesome, but the reality is that, you know, I can go on YouTube right now and look up, Hiroshima. I can go on YouTube right now and look up videos of 9/11. You know, I mean, this is reality. This is historical reality. Death happens. Violence happens in the world. So it was very bizarre to see them try and scrub a video from the internet and try and scrub the manifesto from the internet. They still fundamentally do not understand the Streisand effect. You know, the more you try to bury something, the more you try to hide it, the more you try to censor it, well, the more curious people are going to be, the more they're going to want to see it. So it's just human nature. It's a fundamental human nature. And, you know, the media still doesn't understand this. The government still don't understand this. And the tech companies still don't understand this, that the more you try to hide stuff, the more you try to bury it, the further you're actually going to propel it and spread it. But the point being is that, you know, they have this technology today. So they can see when you're using certain words or when you're posting certain links or uploading certain video content or imagery, you know, they can block it from being posted before it's even posted. Whereas previously they relied on AI to detect it after it was posted or people to report it after it was posted. Now, because of this government pressure and this loom of regulation or I don't know, I guess threats from foreign governments to kick them out of their markets or whatever, they're now detecting it before it's even posted, which is pretty scary. It's like they're scanning everything that you're doing before you're actually doing it and deciding whether or not you're allowed to do it before you're even able to make that action. Which is, again, it's not a world that I want to live in. I don't want, you know, two or three companies deciding what I can talk about, what I can post, what is news and what isn't, what is fact and what isn't. You have YouTube putting Wikipedia articles under certain videos about certain topics to pseudo fact check what the person is talking about. Before you even have a chance to watch the video, you get this thrown in your face. Oh, well, here's the Wikipedia on this topic, so you know what the truth is. And meanwhile, we see that people are being paid. There was a big story on Breitbart a few weeks ago about Wikipedia editors being basically paid to sit there and police pages. And you'll see this with Gab's page, for example. We have a Wikipedia administrator and we have three editors openly who, you know, have badges on their profiles that they support Antifa, right? So this is a radical far left Wikipedia editor that is sitting on our page, a Wikipedia administrator who's also a far left feminist. They openly say these things on their bios, by the way, and they sit there and they camp our page and they do not allow any form of dissent. They do not allow any form of objectivity whatsoever. And they just police the smear. That's it. They sit there and they police the smear and they make Gab look as horrible as possible. They take things out of context. They cite only mainstream far left sources for all their sources. It's disgusting. Wikipedia is an absolute cesspool for anything political and anything cultural, which is what most people are using Wikipedia for. And now you have YouTube citing Wikipedia as a de facto source of truth on certain topics for certain videos. You know, all these things are happening and these things are escalating, and it's only going to get worse, and people are really getting fed up with it. And that's why I'm glad that, you know, we had the foresight to see this stuff coming and to build and be prepared for it, because people are going to want it out. I think what's going to happen is they're going to either check out completely. You know, there's going to be a bunch of people that, millions of people that just like, opt out of social networking completely, and maybe opt out of using the internet as much completely as well, because they're just sick of it. And then there's going to be others who are going to seek out alternatives like Gab, like Minds, like BitChute, and all of us are growing. So I think that's only going to continue. And those are kind of the paths forward, is this balkanization of the internet into smaller niche communities of shared values. And we're going to be the community that has shared values of freedom, liberty, and free expression. So that's where we're going.
I was just reading an article written by, let's say, not exactly a sympathizer of yours, but it came to the conclusion that when Twitter bans people, you guys flourish. It's free advertising for you, in effect. It gets people ticked off. It gets them to look into you guys. So you have interesting, you know, occasional benefits that come from the craziness in the world, is that all of a sudden you get a burst of people because they're sick and tired of what's going on elsewhere. But at the same time, no doubt you have faced and continue to face a lot of challenges. Can you tell us frankly what some of those continue to be?
Well, yeah, we faced the same challenges that anybody who's operating a user-generated content website is going to face, especially at scale. You know, you have hundreds of thousands of people that are posting, you know, hundreds of thousands of posts every day. And, you know, you're going to have some that are going to be posting stuff that is going to be breaking the law, and you're going to have to handle that. And, you know, we work with law enforcement closely. We don't allow any illegal activity on the site, and we never have. We take action as quickly as we can. And our community has been our biggest asset in that regard. I think that's one of the benefits that we have over a lot of these other places, is our users are our investors. Our users are our customers. Our users are our donors. And, you know, they believe in what we're doing and they want to protect Gab, and they know the rules and they know what's illegal and what's not. So, you know, they act as a filter or a layer to watch out for this activity and to escalate it to us as quickly as possible by reporting it, or, you know, shooting us an email if it's something that's urgent. But, you know, any of the normal challenges that you would have to face is stuff that we faced. And I think we face some challenges that no startup, no normal startup, tech startup would ever even have to think about, you know, like getting banned from PayPal, getting banned from Stripe, getting banned from hosting providers, from GoDaddy or DNS, app stores, every layer of third-party infrastructure that you can think of that helps, especially at these early stages. You know, you can't build everything. You need to rely on some third parties to provide some of those services so you don't have to build out everything from scratch. But, you know, we've been forced to do so, which takes a lot of time, especially stuff on the back end and stuff that most people don't see. We've had to, you know, switch hosting providers like 3 or 4 times. Like, that is not an easy thing to do. You don't just flip a switch and say, oh, now I'm on this provider, right? Like, it takes weeks and a lot of work to do things like that. But, you know, we've come through all of these challenges stronger. Every time that the media writes us off for dead because of X, Y, or Z, oh, well, they're not in app stores now. They're not going to go anywhere now. And yet we continue to grow. Oh, well, now they don't have PayPal. They don't have Stripe. They can't process payments. They haven't been able to find a payment processor, you know, for months. Well, then we find a payment processor and now we're processing payments again. So every single time they write us off for dead, we come back stronger than ever before. And we also come back more anti-fragile than before. You know, so keep it coming, right? You know, keep hitting us, because every time you do, we get stronger and stronger and more resilient and more anti-fragile. I think that's the biggest word out of all of this is Gab is anti-fragile. You know, when we get attacked, we actually get stronger. And that can't be said for a lot of things in life, let alone in startups. It's a very, very rare thing. But, you know, we've had no choice. We have to adapt. We have to be resilient. We have to be creative. And that's where, you know, that out of the box thinking, innovation comes from necessity. You know, that's where Decenter basically came from. It's like, okay, let's really think outside of the box here. Like, let's do a browser extension. And like, you would say that to anybody normally and they'd be like, what? Like, who has browser extensions? Well, you actually look into the data and a lot of people do. A lot of people have ad blockers. A lot of people install extensions, tens of millions of them. So, you know, why not go that path, think outside the box, do something different, and now it's taking off, right? So that type of thinking and that type of resiliency has really been our strength, and I think it will be going forward. But you know, we face challenges every day, and we just take them in step and figure them out. And sometimes we'll throw out the challenges to our community, and they'll help us crowdsource an answer or a solution. And again, that's our biggest asset is our community. You know, we have hundreds of thousands of people from around the world who believe in what we're doing, who know what we're doing is important for the future of free expression on the internet. And frankly, they just want to stick it to Silicon Valley and to the media and to whoever else happens to be bashing us that day. So, you know, I guess that's some of the stuff that we face on a day-to-day basis.
So the website is gab.ai. And while you're there, you can also get Decenter.
Well, it's actually gab.com now. So we purchased the domain.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah.
Jeez, I'm so behind. I just have it automatic in my browser.
It'll redirect you.
Gab.com. Good for you, man. I'm sorry that I didn't pick up on that.
No worries. Yeah, that's last fall, but a lot of people, you'd be surprised, are still going to AI, and we just started redirecting.
Yeah, force a habit. Yeah.
Yep. And Decenter.com is the extension. You can go and download that for any major browser and see what people are talking about. If you just, you know, input a URL there as well, you don't even have to install the extension.
Well, that's really excellent. Very, very interesting, and just goes to show, you know, they can try to pull these things, but we've got so many clever folks on our side doing their best to fight back. So gab.com is where you folks should go. Obviously, that's not too hard to remember, but in case it is, it will be linked at tomwoods.com/1377. Well, thanks, Andrew, and continued good luck to you.
Thanks for having me. Have a good one, Tom.
All right, folks, I've got something really great to tell you about. Here is another piece of evidence of how creative and diverse the Tom Woods Show audience is. Brand new website created by a listener. It's photoiq.co. It's a photography curriculum for the beginner, and it's also a great solution for homeschoolers looking for an art curriculum. It's run by Gus Cantavero, who's a homeschooler himself, and he's been a professional photographer for 20 years, and he kind of prides himself on what I pride myself on, which is being able to take complicated things and explain them so normal people can understand them. So he assumes no prior knowledge and walks you through step by step to becoming better and better and acquiring more and more skills. He's broken his curriculum up into different modules like the Ultimate Camera Buying Guide or Camera Basics or Intro to Still Life and Food Photography and so on. In fact, in the Intro to Still Life and Food Photography module, for a limited time, he's even including free review and feedback on your homework assignments. So he's going to be completing the whole curriculum over the course of 2019, but there's plenty there right now for you to start chewing on. So create your account over at photoiq.co and get a free ebook, part one of the Ultimate Camera Buying Guide. And if you do decide to sign up and dig into the curriculum, take 25% off your first order with, guess what? Coupon code Woods. So the website, once again, is photoiq.co. I'll link to it at tomwoods.com/1377 as well. And of course, Gus gets this nice shout out, not only because he's been a longtime supporter of mine, but also because he used the Bluehost link to get his website that I have at tomwoods.com/publicity. Use my link, you get publicity and many other benefits that will help you get up and running and be successful right out of the gate. So get the details at tomwoods.com/publicity. And then one other thing I want to tell you, just given that cryptocurrency has been talked about as a way around some of the gatekeepers, I want to mention, I know there are folks who maybe sell products or sell services or whatever, take donations, whatever on their website, who have thought in the back of their minds, it might be nice to take Bitcoin, because there are a lot of people who will support you if you allow them to do so in Bitcoin and not otherwise. So there's an easy way to do this, it turns out. I've assembled for you a series of free videos that just walk you through just to show you how easy it is. So you can get those videos over at tomwoods.com/Bitcoin. See you tomorrow.
Become a smarter libertarian in just 30 minutes a day. Visit tomwoods.com to subscribe to the show for free, and we'll see you next time.
Like the sound of the Tom Woods Show? My audio production is provided by Podsworth Media. Check them out at podsworth.com.